stretching in front of you, there's a lot of unknowns. There's a certainty in the middle of those unknowns, and that certainty is Christ Jesus. He never changes. Never changed from before creation all the way through time. He never changes. That's one certainty you have, my friend. A lot of other things you may think are certain tend to curl up, blow away, but Jesus never changes. A lot of you are heading out for the summer. How many of you will be here this summer, actually be in classes? Okay, most of you are going back to the wasteland. I don't know what kind of experiences you're going to have. I don't know about you, but I spent my first summer away from home on summer missions and didn't go home until my sophomore year, at the end of my sophomore year. I was dreading it. I had been on my own for 2 years now, and I was afraid I was going to have a 10 o'clock curfew. It was just... My dad and I had a long talk, and we reached a reasonable lifestyle for both of us, and it turned out to be a pretty good year. May the Lord bless your summer. Whether you're headed out for the summer or you're headed out long term, I'd like you to understand some things about the hollow men. I'm going to use some props just to help out with this. And I have more technology up here than is good for me. The first one is this drum. Will it work? Yeah. This is a drum up here. Those of you who can see it, realize it's a drum. Those of you who can't, now you realize it's a drum. A drum is basically some skin stretched over an empty frame. You bang on it, it makes a lot of noise. A drum is a lot like what we come into the world as. We come into the world, no matter what country, what our heritage nationally or racially is, we come into the world as people who have... Let me reset myself here. People who are born cut off from a full life. Our original parents rebelled against God. And it is actually out of God that life, real honest to goodness, life flows. That relationship is broken. Real life was severed for us. And yet we still come into a world, very valuable creatures. You know, even the drum, even though it's empty, just skin stretched across the frame, those things are not cheap. We're very valuable people, but we're cut off from real life. We are people who yearn for a purpose. All over the planet, we want meaning. We don't just spend the days of our lives sort of twiddling our thumbs and hoping something happens. We want to do something that really counts. We want to be significant. Human beings are made that way. But being cut off from real life, we're just like a drum. We're hollow. We're skin stretched across an empty frame. And we yearn for the life we wish we could have. We want to count, and yet really counting almost comes within our grasp and then eludes us. We really want to connect with something really important, and yet we almost get hold of it and then it gets away from us again. God's made us that way. We're actually made for real life. What we do, though, is time goes on and we connect with some God, and then we become like our God, empty. There's an interesting verse over in the Old Testament. You pick your God. Here's a statement about idols in the time of the Old Testament. The psalmist writes, he talks about our God, and he talks about their gods. Well, there are many different gods around him in the nations. Their idols are silver and gold, made by the hands of men. They have mouths, but cannot speak. They have eyes, but cannot see. They have ears, but cannot hear. Noses, but they cannot smell. You pick your God. People are devoted to these things. And then your God shapes you. He goes on, they have hands, but can't feel. They have feet, they can't walk. nor can they utter a sound with their throats. This is a picture of these great and mighty idols. He goes on to say, those who make them will be like them. And so also all who trust in them. One of the things you discover all across the planet is people pick their God, and then their God shapes them. They become like it. We come in empty, and human beings are made to worship. I mean, it doesn't matter what part of the planet you're in, people worship. Even people who don't believe in God start worshiping in foxholes. We're just made to worship. And so we will find something to worship. We've got that hunger for more than just an earthly life. We will find something to worship. But when we find gods who themselves are empty, we remain empty. Hollow ideology. You collect the wrong set of beliefs, friend, about God and about life. You collect a hollow ideology. It leads to certain things. This is how the book of Colossians 2:6 through 8. So then, Paul writes to a church that's in a philosophical controversy right now. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him. You know, the way you got in is the way you go on. Rooted and built up and strengthened in the faith. You get in by faith, you go on by faith. And he says, grow strong in this stuff and overflowing with thankfulness. You have to learn how to thank God for even tough things. So he says to the gang, look, you really go on with God the way you got in. You start off trusting. That's the way it's going to be here on in. He's the only thing you're going to be able to really trust. And then he says, see to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world, rather than on Christ. All of us have to come up with some explanation for the world. At your age, you don't immediately have to have it. Because you can major on what I want to do, my fears and anxieties right now, and other things like that. As you have children, you have to start explaining life to them. You need some kind of bigger picture. And when you're my age, well, you got to have some kind of framework to understand life from, because there has been so much struggle and so much pain and a few victories. We all want some kind of framework. And there are a lot of different frameworks offered to us in the world, different gods, different philosophies. But you pick a hollow ideology, you pick a hollow philosophy, and it leads to some things. Hollow ideology leads to a hollow life. Paul writes about how we live in the world. I'm not putting down people who don't know Jesus Christ. I've been one of them. And I think most of you have been. But here's how it goes in the world. I mean, you grow up in the world. You sort of absorb its ways of thinking and doing. And you follow the ways of this world, the ruler of the kingdom of the air, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature, following its desires and thoughts. We have a desire, we go do that. We think something, we act on it. And we don't really think a whole lot about the bigger picture. Paul writes again to his protege, Titus, who's trying to work with the church. He says, at one time, we too were foolish. Notice these words, foolish. Foolish means you use very poor judgment in dealing with life. And boy, so much of what we think is smart turns out to be the very way to shoot your own feet off. We were foolish, disobedient. You know, God has his way of going up. I don't know if you discovered it or not, but God's opinions and mine just aren't exactly the same on a lot of issues. Particularly if it's about something I want. Well, I've got a choice. Do I go with God or do I take what I want? The world lives in very poor judgment, disobedient, doing what it wants, not what the true God of the universe wants. And we can find many gods. We can make up our own God ideas to excuse those things. But Jesus Christ doesn't change. Disobedient, deceived. We think, in this culture and other cultures, we think we got it figured out. And the truth is, we've been tricked. We've been snookered. I don't know how many people I've worked with over the years who have basically absorbed their philosophy for living from TV and the movies and the music. And you start talking about how to handle situations, and people begin to reflect on the movies they've seen. You know what's the difference between the movies and you? The guys in the movies have a screenwriter. The screenwriter can make everything work out okay for them, no matter what they do. Anybody ever see Wayne's World, old film? You know? Several of you. Anybody ever see Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, even older? The theme of both those movies is lazy jerks do well. Now, friend, that's just deception. If you want to do something in the world, you have to work very, very hard for a very long time. But we take our thoughts about living and sort of our feelings about living, and we don't really evaluate those. We just sort of absorb them, and then we try to implement them. And we turned out to have been deceived. We weren't told the truth. I don't know how many women I've dealt with who bought the cultural line on sex. I thought that somehow this was going to take them to a new level of personhood. And all it did was subtract from them who they were. But once you've been deceived, all you can do is feel ripped off. Because you've been tricked. I know guys who think that they can just sort of fool their way through life, never have to worry about responsibility, get married, wonder why after 15 years their wives are so absolutely disgusted with them. Because all they do is play. But in all the beer commercials, that's what guys do. Right? Most of the movies, that's what guys do. Unless you're, killing somebody. Or just play boys. But it's a lie. It's not the way life is. We end up deceived. And it costs us maybe a marriage. Maybe a family. Disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. Well, we get hooked on stuff. I have never met anyone who snorted cocaine, who took their first snort just thinking, I can't wait to be a coke addict. Well, it was first deception, and then it was enslavement. I know people in sexual addictions. They never started off thinking, I want to be enslaved to something that just degrades me. But they were deceived, and then they were enslaved. This is the way life goes. Passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy. Malice, bad attitude. Envy is just wishing we had other people's stuff. And looking at the terrible stuff we got. Being hated and hating one another. As you go along in life, there are people you wish you could love, maybe your parents, maybe some brothers and sisters, perhaps relatives, maybe friends. But as life goes along, the two of you pile up so much hurt, after a while you begin to hate people. And you find people who are close in their 20s, who in their 40s, detest one another. This is the empty life. You pick an empty God, you pick an empty philosophy, you get from it an empty life. I'm not putting people down. I'm just saying this is how it is, friend. Watch the news. This is how it is. God made us for wonderful things, but we come in empty. In Western society, we have chosen a God. In the popular media, there are a lot of people in this country who are still believers in Jesus Christ, followers of Christ. But we have chosen a God in the popular media. And that God is no God. So, if you look at the flow of Western thought, from in the Middle Ages, in the early Renaissance period, there's an idea that there was a God, and that God gave meaning and purpose to human beings. We were not just, hairless chimps. We were special creations of God. We had meaning, there was purpose in life. Even if you were not a part of the royalty, if you were a peasant, the bearing of children, the tilling of the land, all this had purpose in God's plan. As you move on into the later Renaissance, the beginning of the Enlightenment, you discover a big shift in the Western world. There's a decision that by using reason, man is going to find his own meaning and purpose without God. This is the theme, basically the increasing theme of philosophy from 1600 on. On into our day. I have a picture. I didn't have time to scan it in, but I've got a really neat picture at home. I have a book on the Enlightenment. And the cover on it is a colorful drawing. But it's a line drawing of a man drawing himself. See, with the Enlightenment, we decided we were going to call all the shots. We're going to determine who we would be. And we didn't need any God to give us values, morals, direction, purpose. We didn't need God. By reason, we would figure it all out. In the late 1800s, there's a guy named Nietzsche cropped up. Nietzsche is a very curious mixture of depravity and insight. He studied his life. He's nothing to be imitated. But he's a guy who saw something. What he saw was this. Without God, there is no ultimate meaning or purpose to life. Without God, there are no values. Without God, everything other than the physical world is just meaningless. For instance, if we're going to sit down and decide on what's going to be right and wrong about marriage, how many wives can we have? How do we make that decision? Well, if you're a Christian, you go to the Bible and try to figure it out. If you're in another society, you may have your own rules. Whenever we come down to deciding finally on morality, well, how many wives are be, how many husbands are be, whether sex outside of marriage is right or wrong, if there is a God, it's real important to check in with that God. If there's not a God, then you've got your opinion, I've got my opinion. Who wins? The one with the 357 Magnum. Might makes right. There are no values. If there is no God, all the things we treasure become meaningless. A word like freedom, what does that become? Well, we die for freedom. That ought to be something noble. It basically becomes, if you want to define it, it would be a pleasant set of circumstances for some people. Anyway, meaning evaporates. Nietzsche began to realize this. He also said that the strong will create their own meanings. Anybody heard of postmodernism? Anyone got it figured out? I saw the best definition of it on The Simpsons. There's one where the bartender, he redoes his bar so that an upscale bunch come in. And his old drinking customers come in and look at this bar. Everybody's in suits and ties, and ladies are dressed up. There's this one TV screen hanging down from the ceiling. This eyeball is going back and forth on it. And one of them says, "Hey, Mo, what's with the eyeball?" He says, "Pomo." "Pomo? What's Pomo?" "You know, postmodern." "What's postmodern?" He says, "Weird for the sake of weird." Well, that's a pretty good definition, at least in terms of style. According to postmodernism, current philosophy, there is no God. There's only the physical universe. There are no ultimate values beyond the bare physical universe. If you believe in Tinkerbell and Peter Pan, that's just fine. As long as you can cross the street without getting hit by a bus, you're okay. If you can't make it across the street without getting hit by a bus, you have a reality problem. But if whatever you believe, you don't believe in Jesus, fine. You don't believe in Buddha, fine. If you don't believe in anybody, fine. It doesn't make any difference. Everybody's opinion is equally valid, and everybody's opinion is equally invalid. There is no meaning to life. Postmodernism has the attitude of, besides this, beware of the strong because they'll convince you of what they believe. We're at a point today where there is no God. And earlier we were believing there was no God, but we're sort of living on the Christian leftovers in the society. Those have sort of dried up now, and culturally we're shifting in America, Europe's already shifted, toward a very nihilistic type of culture. And you start off with an empty ideology, an empty God. You end up Hollow. Anybody ever see, ever read T.S. Eliot's poem, The Hollow Man? Pretty good stuff. He realized before 1925 what was going on. Very perceptive. We're the hollow men. We're the stuffed men. Leaning together, headpiece filled with straw. Alas, our dried voices, when we whisper together, are quiet and meaningless. As wind and dry grass are rat's feet over broken glass in our dry cellar. There's nothing below us alive. There's nothing foundational alive. It's all dried out. So Western society, as we knew it, was rooted in God. The God has changed. We have a lot of empty people. The drum, that's one kind of emptiness. If you're here tonight and you've been searching for God, you're going to find God in Christ Jesus. There are a lot of different God opinions in the world. A guy challenged me one time. He says, you can't say Jesus Christ is the only way because you've never studied the world religions. And I hadn't. But friend, now I have. I've also studied the different philosophies. And I promise you, you can go ahead and study. You will not find anything that brings together mankind with head and heart except Jesus Christ. And that's just a statement made by me. You can believe it or not. But you start on the journey. See if you find anything. East or west. It takes Jesus Christ. We come in. Hollow. We really want to be filled. There are a lot of people hollow tonight that need to understand Jesus Christ. If you're here hollow, I urge you to investigate him. There's another kind of hollowness. That's this one. I borrowed this. Can you hear it? Get it up here. What is this? Anybody know? What's it called? Rain stick. Why would anybody call it a rain stick? I don't see any water. Oh, it's what's inside. You're there. Yeah, rain. It's all the rain inside. Yeah. This guy's been to college. This is another kind of hollow. Like a rain stick. There are people who begin with Jesus Christ. They begin to grow, but they never really fill in. Life comes along and it turns them upside down, and you hear the hollowness in there. They just never solidify. And I watched this through the years. They get in a hurry for leadership. They want prestige. Now, Jesus Christ, if you come to him, you start to walk with him, he really puts you in a pretty rough situation. He says, if you want to lead, you got to serve. If you want to be great and be wise, you have to be humble. Well, humble just takes too long. You know, we have a drive, many of us have a drive, where we just want to appear much more mature than we are. Now, some of us are aiming for ministry jobs, and we've got to appear mature early so we can get that job we want to land. We get in a hurry. We want status before we're ready, even if it's not a ministry job. We want Christian status. So we pretend to be more mature than we really are in order to get esteem, in order to get understanding. Paul writes an interesting statement to Timothy, who's trying to straighten out a church. He talks about the very core of what this everything we're talking about in Christ Jesus really is. He says the goal of this command that we've been giving people is love, which comes from a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith. Three things. This thing grows out of three roots: pure heart, clear conscience, and the last one is a sincere faith. It literally is a faith unpretended. Many times we get into a thing where we really want to feel mature. Look mature, act mature. So we start trying to pretend to be mature. And we play a game. We end up hollow. Paul goes on to say, some have wandered away from these and turned to meaningless talk. You leave these behind, pure heart. It's one goal, please God. Clear conscience, straighten things out with people. Sincere faith, just living where you are, not trying to play pretend. Read the rest of the verse. They want to be teachers of the law, they don't know what they're talking about. In the Bible, there's a sequence that you move through if you want to lead. This is out of the book of Ezra, Ezra 7:10. Ezra had set his heart to study the law of the Lord and to do it, and to teach his statutes and ordinances in Israel. If you want to lead, you study the law of the Lord. Most of us think what you do is you study and then you teach, right? No, you study and then you do it. And after you do it, you talk about it. Friends, if you want to grow solid, you don't want to end up just hollow. You need to take God's word seriously. And where it speaks to you, deal with it. Then after you deal with it, talk about it. As a result, you're not going to have a lot to talk about for quite a while. But you know, whenever you speak, there will be authority. You want to fill in. Three things keep tripping people up, keep them from maturing. Jesus says in Luke 8:14, the seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear it, but as they go on their way, they're choked by life. Three things in life. Life's worries. We keep constantly worrying over the future, and we won't let God handle it. Rather than doing the stuff we know we ought to be doing right now, being a help to people, learning about the Word of God, we just stay preoccupied with worry. Life's worries, riches. Constantly trying to get that money laid aside so we can finally have a party. And then the last one is pleasures. You know, there are things I want out of life. Well, those three things dog people and they don't mature. If you want to fill in, not be the rain stick, you need to seriously engage the Word of God and let it deal with you. Don't pretend to be so spiritual. Just be who you are. If you're a three-year-old in your daddy's business suit, you don't look 21. You get it? Just be glad to be three. Everybody will admire you as a three-year-old. As a 21-year-old, you're going to be very suspect. Chill. There's another one. This is Jimmy. This is another hollow, the bottom one there. Yeah. Anybody know what this is? Anybody know what that is? Anybody like icing? Notice that this is a container. It once was hollow, started off empty. It got filled with some sweet stuff. Do one of you guys have a skill to open this?
Yes.
Who has? Who's the man? Who's the woman? Come on up. You don't want to? It's okay. He's eager. Come on. Pull the rest of that off. Work a little, man. Show him what's inside. We want a word of testimony. Is it good? It is good. That's yours. You don't have to stay hollow, friend. You can be filled with good stuff. But it's not going to be by accident. There's a full life through Jesus Christ, but there's a way it happens and there's a way it doesn't. If you have walked with the Lord Jesus a little while, you're very aware there's a difference here between those who profess and those who possess. Paul says, again, Colossians 2:8, see to it no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy. Watch out what you decide to believe in. Check it out first. He goes on, though, these things are based on the principles of this world rather than on Christ. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity dwells bodily. and you have been given fullness in Christ. You want a full, rich, complete life. That fullness comes only in Christ Jesus. But friends, only if you really do business with him. There are all kinds of Jesus fans. We love Jesus. There are Jesus worshipers. They get so caught up with Jesus. And then there are people that walk with Jesus. They worship. They are a fan. But there's just more going on here. You have to make a determined choice. What's going to occupy your time and your mind? What's going to take your money? What's going to take your energy? Now, we are all in favor of you bathing. We agree that you should spend some energy on bathing. Most of us would appreciate it if you had washed your clothes occasionally. Your mothers may have talked to you about this. Guys? You know, you get out of school, you go to work. I mean, you got to put in hours on the job. You have to take care of your living. They're just stuff you got to do with life. But the angle you approach all this stuff from is going to be from either the world's angle or from Jesus' angle. And you're going to have other time on your hands, and you're either going to sit and watch flies crawl on the wall. Or something on the tube. Or the big silver screen. Or you're going to invest your time and your money in the things of Jesus. Now, you fill your life with the things of Jesus, there's a fullness that grows in you. I'm not saying your problems go away, but friend, you deal with them very differently. You thump on that can of frosting right there, it sounds very differently from this thing. The problems of life come, but they're just handled differently. The full life through Christ comes in experiencing his fullness. We're to actually intentionally fill our lives with the things of God. Here's the right filling. We're going to look at a right and a wrong and then some more. Ephesians 5:15 says, be very careful then how you live. Actually, what this phrase says in the Greek is live exactly. The word's where we get acrobat from. How many of you have watched sloppy acrobats? Not many of you. Why? Sloppy acrobats either spend their time in the hospital or they're dead. Acrobats have to perform precisely and exactly. Now, what this phrase is actually saying is, take what you learn from the things of God and put this stuff into practice exactly like he says. Now, it's not saying you have to be perfect for God to like you. That's not what it's saying. We've been accepted in Christ Jesus because of his death, period. But you really want to live a life that has fullness to it. Then you can't be sloppy about the Word of God. Oh, I know what the Bible says, but I just feel. Well, you feel. And you're going to feel some other things, too, a little later. Live exactly is what it's saying. Not as unwise, but as wise. You can be very stupid. Don't live that way. Therefore, since he said this, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Get a grip on the will of God and don't make up your own stuff. That's stupid. Then he goes on to say, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Now you get drunk, you get wasted. People take advantage of you. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. You need to yield your lives to the control of God each day as you walk along. Let him have control. You make the choice of the filling of the Spirit. Get filled with it. There's wrong stuff. Matthew 6:31 says, don't worry about saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink? What shall we wear? You know, where am I going to live next year? What kind of job am I going to get? Oh, I'm just so worried. I don't know if I can live. You know, calm down. So the pagans run after all these things. That's what consumes their lives. Where are we going to get the money to pay the bills this month? Oh, we just can't stand this 3,000 square foot house. We got to have 5,000 or die. And then after they get it, how are we going to pay the bills this month? No, it just feeds on itself. This consumes people. The pagans run after these things. Your heavenly Father knows you need them. You know, God understands you got to have a place to live. It's really not his will you run around naked. He'll provide some clothes. He's got this down. He invented clothes. You go back to Genesis 3. He invented clothes. Your Heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek, this is what you do instead. The right stuff. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. And all this other stuff, it'll be yours. If you get so focused on the accessories in life, you miss the main guard. It's about walking with Jesus, being full of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow. All of you graduates, say with me, I will not worry about tomorrow. I will not worry about tomorrow. Let's do it one more time, though some of them just woke up. I will not worry about tomorrow. Okay, don't worry about tomorrow. Why? Oh man, you got no problems today. That's what it says. Day's on trouble, take care of itself. In other words, friend, I mean, it's okay to plan for tomorrow, but focus on the here and now and how you can be of use to God right here, right now. How in this situation you can do things pleasing to Him rather than things that just shame Him. And you fill your life with this stuff, and over a time, you know, there's a sweetness. Where does happiness come from? This whole society is on a happiness jag now. They're running after happiness. They're on the treadmill. And happiness is just out of reach. One more wife, one more husband, one more boyfriend, one more kid. You know, 1 more million. Where does happiness come from? Happiness is not achieved. Happiness is a gift. The scripture says, to the man who pleases Him, God gives wisdom. You get to see the better paths to take in life when other people are taking the wrong turns. God gives knowledge. God lets you see how life is actually put together. And then God gives happiness. This is where happiness comes from. I mean, you can make all the money you want, you're not going to be happy. If fame and money would make you happy, Hollywood would be delirious instead of drunk. You know, most of these people in Hollywood are sad people. That's what all the, you know, the Star and all those under other truthful publications are about their sad lives. Hot people, sad life. Yep. To the sinner, He gives the task of gathering and storing up wealth to hand it over to the one who pleases God. You know, this too is meaningless. The word literally means empty, hollow. This is just hollow. You work so hard to get all your stuff together, and then you're dead. Somebody else gets to play with it. Pretty hollow. Put Jesus Christ first. In your dating relationships, put Him first. You will not be sorry that you honor Him in your dating. If it's in your money, put Him first. If it's in your grades, put Him first. Carve out time to serve Him by serving people. If you will, life will have a sweetness to it. And if you don't, I promise you, you will end up 40 and hollow and 50 and worse. I deal with it all the time. Would you hand me that, John? Anybody know what this thing is? Yeah. See, I put the answer up on the screen. It's a didgeridoo. Anybody know how to play one? There's somebody back here who does. Phil? Phil does? Anybody not embarrassed to play it in front of the group? Okay, come on up. Come on, come on. This is an Aboriginal musical instrument, actually. My daughter brought back after summer in Australia among the Aborigines. Phil, can you make this thing do what it's supposed to? He can. You may have thought it was going to do more than that, but it won't. Thanks, Phil. I can't do that yet. Hand. Musical instrument. Actually, it's a very elegant musical instrument because you not only play it, you beat people to death with it, so they give you a problem. You know how they make these things? The Aborigines, they set out to make one. They find a tree that's full of termites. They'll take a stick, and they'll hit the limb until they find a section of the limb that sounds just right. They know everything on the inside of it's been eaten out. And then they'll cut that section, and they push all of what used to be the life of the limb out the other end. And then they whittle on it until it's appropriate for a didgeridoo. This was once a limb of a tree full of life in the middle. It's now hollow. Once solid believers, many I've seen to get the heart eaten out of them. You see it start to happen around 40. Termites take the heart out of this stuff. But there are three termites that take the heart out of believers. I want to leave you with this. Watch out for this, friend. Deal with these issues early in your life. As you get back into wherever you live for the summer, watch out for this stuff, because I promise you, I watched the summer eat the heart out of somebody who had set up to walk with God. Three spiritual termites. 1 John says, do not love the world or the things in the world. Now, he's not talking about people. He's talking about that system of thought, goals, ambitions, motivations. Because God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. But it's the world of people. This is the world in its ways and its motivations, its ambitions and its thoughts, its values. Do not love the world or the things that are in the world. For all that's in the world, and then he names them. Just in case you don't know. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Every bit of it's not of the Father, it's just of the world. You can justify it all kinds of ways, but God will not buy it. And friend, like termites, this stuff will eat the heart out of you. He who, the lust of the world passes away, the world passes away in the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. As you get into these things, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, as you get into these things, then what happens is the very heart of you goes. It's a matter of time. Termites, you know, don't conquer the first day. But you watch people get into this stuff over time. And I've seen people who years ago did tremendous sacrifice for God. And people who really had insight for God, I've seen them become blind. I've watched them do the things that have shamed their children. I've watched them bring shame on the name of the Lord Jesus before all kinds of people. And they say in the middle of it, oh, I just feel closer to God than ever. 1 John 2:16, these evil desires, this is the Living Bible, in case you didn't get the first. The craze for sex, lust of the flesh, basically it's the pleasures that are related to our human body. Craze for sex, lust of the eyes, the ambition to buy everything that appeals to you. Oh, that beautiful 25-carat diamond ring, I just got to have it. Oh, that lovely Porsche, I just got to have it. Well, it doesn't matter. You're going to be a slave for the next 15 years just trying to pay the first year of payments on it. But you just got to have this thing that just occupies your mind all the time. For some people, it's a Lamborghini. For other people, it's a Ford Fiesta. But it's there. And it's got them. I just got to have it. And the pride of life, you know, we all feel the pride that comes from wealth and importance. We all want to have a sense of respect among other people. But there's also a desire within us to feel a little bit better than others. And one of the ways we get that is by trying to become important and especially. And then we can walk around being real important. You know who God thinks is important? God thinks everyone's valuable. God thinks those are important who imitate his Son. Whenever these things get active, the heart begins to go. Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me, Paul writes. You start getting love with this stuff, and it happens. You start letting your heart go, and you get drawn. Could be toward porn in the sex area. Could be that, oh, that just wonderful, cute guy. It could be a relationship. You start getting drawn toward this stuff, and you don't put a check on it. It will suck you in. And it will do you harm. You start getting into the stuff. Most of you don't have enough money yet. The lust for everything you can buy, that comes after you graduate and you get your first job. and you realize you have money. It's money. Every month there's money. And I watch people just go off the deep end. Stay sober. Stay sane. You love the wrong and you'll desert the good. You don't have to intend to be bad. You just sort of drift into it. Don't fool yourself, dude. This is Galatians 6:7. Don't deceive yourselves. No one makes a fool of God. It ain't happening. A person will reap exactly what he plants. If he sows to please his own wrong desires, he'll be planting seeds of evil. He'll surely reap a harvest of spiritual decay and death. You will rot inside. Now you start spending your thoughts on that stuff, just a little out of bounds with Jesus, but your heart's really sort of drawn to it. After a while, it starts to eat out what you've had with Christ. On the other hand, if you plant the seed of good things with the Holy Spirit, you reap the harvest of everlasting life the Holy Spirit gives to you. If you love Jesus, you'll obey him. Jesus says, whoever has my commands and obeys them, he's the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him. I'll show myself to him. There'll be an increasing understanding of the Lord. If you just keep on putting him first, we talk about being filled with the right things. You just keep on pursuing. As this other stuff comes up, starts to pull you off track, let it go. Pay the price, let it go. I'm the vine, you're the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he'll bear much fruit. Apart from me, zip. You can do nothing. The Lord knows us very well. You need to stay plugged into Jesus. As you go home this summer, watch what you get back into. I don't know about you guys, but whenever I go back home, it's almost like the four walls of the room I'd had as a kid would tell me who I was. Instead of me understanding who I was from the angle of Jesus. I get back around to old friends, I start getting sucked back toward old things. Use good sense. No, if you don't want alligator bites, don't go wading in the swamp. Think ahead. Use good sense. If you've been walking with Jesus Christ this year, what you have is very precious. You've made some real gains. You're on your way toward filling in. Don't be deceived. Don't be tricked. Don't get stupid over the summer. Stay close to Christ. Walk on. God has great things for you. Those of you who are graduating, you have a supporting environment here. You've had some people to guide you. Find some more in the future. Your life's very valuable before God. You are skin stretched over an empty frame. But that's just where we started, friends. God wants to fill us with himself and all the good that he has. Press on. And a lot of hollow people. You know, the Lord's here to fill us up. As you walk on into the future, remember these things. I want to use something that give you a visual picture. You know, all the rain inside there. The hollowness of the drum. The hollowness of this thing. And that good, sweet stuff he's got. I'd like to lead us in prayer. Turn it back over to the group. We've gone a little bit longer. But he's very valuable to God. Don't be taken captive by hollow, deceptive ideas. Father, thank you for your kindness to us. We pray in the name of Jesus that you would bless the summer. Everyone who's sitting here, we pray in Jesus' name that you would empower them to turn the right direction when they have decisions to make, bring them friends and encouragement and support. And whenever the chips are down, they're feeling lonely and afraid or just hurt. Father, strengthen them in the inner person to press on, and in this moment, seek first God's kingdom and God's righteousness, that they may have the things they need. In Jesus' name, amen.